Amen and good morning to all of you. Welcome. I'm going to start out with saying I'm not feeling great. And so I've been dealing with a little bit of a cold over the last couple of days. And if you haven't seen me, that's on purpose. I'm trying to keep my distance from y'all. So good thing you're not in the front row. You guys might want to step over. I spit. No, I'm just kidding. I don't. That's the first thing. Second thing, we're kicking off a new series today called Breaking Point. I'm excited to dive into that. Before we do that, I want to celebrate what God did last week as we closed out our To Boldly Go series. And people brought commitments and brought money toward our purchasing property for our church. So after tallying everything up, and more have come in throughout the week for those that maybe weren't here and have pledged, but last Sunday, over $420,000 were pledged to our property campaign. So that's amazing, $420,000. And then we had $80,000 given in one-time commitments. And this is an amazing thing by our church for our church. This is really the biggest ask that we have had as a church from a financial standpoint. And what we're stepping into is going to be amazing. And this is going to allow us to do that. And so now from that, we have a little bit of our bearings on moving forward on the property that I shared about last week. And I'm excited to see what God does through all of that. If you did, if you weren't here last week, first and foremost, I would encourage you, go back and watch the testimonies from last week. They were so powerful. And we will be releasing the full testimonies soon. Robbie was supposed to post one, but he just keeps saying that the internet's broken and it's not his fault. So he's not in here. So give him a hard time about not being internet savvy. But check that out. And then also, if you weren't here and you want to know how to give, you can go over to the Connect Center. There's a little light over there. If you missed it, we had our giving portals and there are these commitment cards that are there. You can do that. And you can also scan. That's the wrong one, but that's okay. There's a different one. I'll try to get that to you guys at the end of service. There's a whole pledge campaign site that we have. I think it's kairos.church/boldlygo. And you can give there, and then it shows you our progress, how much money's been given, and all of that. But it was awesome, and so thank you guys. From the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for believing and getting behind what Kairos Church is stepping out to do. It's an amazing thing. Okay, new series. Here's what we're going to do for this series. Through this series, we're gonna look at the life of Joseph. This story takes place in the Genesis chapter 37, all the way through about chapter 50. There's a few other stories mixed in there as well, but it's a long story. And man, if you've read the story of Joseph, he went through a lot of different things, a lot of hardships, a lot of trials in his life, and it was full of breaking points. Moments where he seemed stuck with no way out, yet at every breaking point for him ended up becoming a breakthrough for God's plan that had been revealed to him. And so throughout this series, we're going to just explore how God can use our lowest moments, our problem moments, when we feel trapped, well, when we feel forgotten, shape us for something greater. Now, the whole thing kicks off with Joseph and his dreams. And if you've read the story, you know that his dreams came to fruition. What God showed him actually came to be fulfilled. However, the journey from having his dream to the dream's fulfillment, it was long. It was riddled with promise or with problems. And ultimately, his future dreams collided with his present reality. So here's what I want to do. I want to start... and I just want to read through the first 11 verses of chapter 37. I'm going to kind of show you how the story begins, and then I'm going to give you how the dreams come to fulfillment in Genesis 45. So let's look at Genesis 37. Here's what it says. Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. These are the family records of Jacob. At 17 years of age, Joseph tended sheep with his brothers. The young man was working with his sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought a bad report about them to their father. Now Israel, which by the way, if you didn't know, Israel is Jacob. So anyway, just keep that in mind. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than his other sons because Joseph was a son born to him in his old age, and he made a robe of many colors for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all the brothers, they hated him and could not bring themselves to speak peaceably to him. Then Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. And he said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. There we were, binding sheaves of grain in the field, and suddenly my sheaf stood up, and your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf. Are you really going to reign over us?" his brothers asked him. "Are you really going to rule us?" So they hated him even more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream and told it to his brothers, because the last time it worked out really well for him. It's interesting, right? And he said, "Look," he said, "I had another dream, and this time the sun, the moon, and 11 stars were bowing down to me." Then he told his father and brothers, but his father rebuked him. "What kind of dream is this that you have had?" he said. "Are your mother and brothers and I going to come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept this matter in mind. Just a quick recap here. Joseph's a young man. We've seen that he's a bit of a tattle and a snitch against his other brothers, right? He is also the favorite. And he has this dream where everyone else in his family bows down to him. Oh, and if you didn't catch it, his brothers hate him. Like, they don't like him at all. And so he's off to a great start. This is the little brother that you want to punch in the face all the time, right? Like, he's a punk, and he knows it, and he's the favorite, and he knows it. He's got this coat of many colors, and he's, out there kind of, I don't know if he really did that, but I'd be walking like this, be like, "Check out my jacket," and this is how it starts off, and they're like, "Yeah, he's hated." And so initially, it's like his arrogance, his pride, just being super young and naive, kind of mishandling, sharing his dreams, it got him into trouble. And we're going to unpack that. If you don't know the story, we'll unpack that throughout this series. But I want to fast forward to the end of the story. So after 20 years, a lot of things go down. A famine comes to the land. Joseph is in a place of authority in Egypt. He creates this plan to provide food for all of Egypt and the surrounding areas, including his brothers who betrayed him and sold him into slavery. So let's jump to Genesis 45, it says 3:3, but I think it's 4. Let me see what we got. Yeah, it's really 4. 4. Okay, so 10 of Joseph's brothers went down to buy grain from Egypt. And it says, the sons of Israel. Again, this is Jacob. It's interesting that they keep kind of taking Jacob's name, but his name was Jacob and Israel. Okay, anyway, so just keep that in mind. The sons of Israel were among those who came to buy grain, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. Joseph was in charge of the country. He sold grain to all its people. His brothers came and bowed down before him with their faces to the ground. When Joseph saw his brothers, he recognized them, but he treated them like strangers and spoke harshly to them. "Where do you come from?" he asked. "From the land of Canaan to buy food," they replied. And although Joseph recognized his brothers, they did not recognize him. And Joseph remembered his dreams. And so, it's a 20-year span. Joseph in the beginning had these dreams. And in the beginning, for us, we get the story, we get to read the story, we get to see how it unfolds, and it's an amazing story. But Joseph, man, he didn't know how his dreams would come to be fulfilled. He didn't know when, he didn't know how. And while the dream was a bit vague, he figured it meant that his brothers would love him, would respect him. And I think, being the youngest brother, feeling like the outcast, maybe, he's like, I want to be in camaraderie with my brothers. And he wanted his dreams to happen right then and right there. But he wasn't ready for it. And so his actions led to problems, and those problems ultimately led to the fulfillment of his dreams. Because in the time from having the dream to the dream being fulfilled, Joseph went through serious trials, and in those trials, in those problems, God shaped his character. And there may be a part of it too, as the youngest, having this dream and thinking it's funny. Maybe he just wanted to mess with his older brothers, right? Like he knew his position. He wanted to antagonize him. They didn't like him already, so I'm going to go ahead and just add insult to injury. What's the worst that they could do to me?
careful what you ask for, bro, right? Because if you know the story, they did some pretty bad stuff to him. Any youngest in the family, like you're the youngest of your siblings? I'm the youngest as well. Have you ever felt stuck in that role as just being the youngest? Maybe feeling left out, being looked over, maybe feeling like you're the oddball of the family, not fitting in, maybe living in the shadow of your older sibling or siblings, constantly being compared to them. Anyone, does this resonate with? Yeah, and having to live up to the standards that they set. And so I have two older siblings. I have an older sister and an older brother. And I think I've talked to you guys, if you've been here long enough, I've talked to you guys about my absolute disdain for sports. But anyway, my older sister was really into softball. Like, my dad coached a lot of sports, football, baseball, softball. And man, from like as early as I can remember, my sister was playing softball, and she played softball kind of in middle school and high school. And then she got a scholarship to college to go play softball. And so, like, my dad and my sister, this was their connection. They were always doing that, and it was awesome. And then my brother comes along, my older brother, and he's into football, and he's into baseball, and he's really good. And my dad's coaching his teams, and, it's amazing, and it's wonderful. And when I was younger, I played those things. It wasn't what I loved. And as I got older, like, I was like, I'm not into that. I'm into acting and video games and Jesus. Amen. Yeah, amen, right. And it was a hard thing. And so I'm looking and going, this is who my dad wants me to be, and this is what my dad wants from me, and this is how he wants to connect with me. I'm not wired that way. That's not who I feel called to be. And, this all came to a head when I wanted to go spend time with Jesus, and he made me go spend time playing baseball. And, trauma counseling later, and this is where I hate all sports. Okay. So there it is. My dad's fault. I blame him. And so, here's what happens. Sometimes our parents, or as parents, or even other authority figures, it could be a coach, it could be a teacher, it could be a manager in our lives, they end up holding us to the standards that they have set for others. Instead of learning who we are, and maybe just maybe that we might operate a little bit differently. And so they force a set of ideas, practices, and desires upon us in an attempt to shape our identity based off who they want us to become into something that we wrestle with. And so Joseph's father, he had some ideas about who he wanted Joseph to be and what he wanted Joseph to do. Joseph's brothers had an idea about who they wanted Joseph to be and what they wanted him to do. And as you go through the story, there are many different trade-offs. And, there are slave traders that had an idea. There's an Egyptian ruler that had an idea. There was an Egyptian woman that had an idea. There were prison guards that had ideas. They tried to tell him who he would be and what he would do. And oftentimes it's easy to get caught up in other people's desired identities for us, but we've got to remember what matters most is who God calls us to be and the plans that God has for us and who he's created us to be. And so God reveals this plan to Joseph through his dreams. And, in one sense, maybe Joseph misunderstood it and tried to step into it, because then what happened is God spent years preparing him for it. So for you and I, God will reveal his plans to us, and then he'll take time to prepare us for his plans. I love what Proverbs 19:21 says. It says, many plans are in the man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that will prevail. And that's what we see take place. And so while I shared the dream, Joseph's dream, and then its fulfillment back to back, that's not what took place in Joseph's life. It didn't go from having this dream to the dream being fulfilled. No, he had to suffer. He had to endure hardship for a very, very long time. And like Joseph, I think we often wonder, why can't we go from having this dream or having this plan to having that dream be fulfilled without any problems, right? Like, that would be great. If I could just have this and go into it and be like, everything went according to plan. Does it happen like that? No. It does. We want it to happen like that. But the reality of it is that Joseph wasn't ready to step into God's plan for his life. And oftentimes, neither are we. So God takes time to prepare us And often, it's in the midst of our problems that God prepares us for his plans. And we need to begin to see that and understand that we will face, there will be trial, there will be hardship, but that doesn't change the plans that God has for us. So in a span of about 22 years, God used all that happened to Joseph to shape his character, to prepare him to lead. And I kind of just wanted to showcase this to you. Joseph's character when he had the dream versus Joseph's character after the dream was fulfilled. It should be up on the screen. So when Joseph was had the dream, he was young, he was prideful, he was arrogant, he was spoiled, he was antagonistic, he was a snitch, he was a tattle, he lacks respect, he lacks self-awareness, he was socially inept, and he was a selfish dude as well. And so you take that line, and then you get to the other side when the dream became fulfilled, and here's what Joseph was. He was righteous, faithful, honorable, selfless, truthful, trustworthy, wise, strategic, humble, and forgiving. He wasn't ready. In the span of 20 years, God made him ready. And then he stepped into the plan, the dream that God had for his life. All of these things become a part of his character due to how he handled himself in the problems in order to get to God's plans. What problems? And maybe you aren't super familiar with the story. We will take time unpacking all of that, but you need to know, he was betrayed by his brothers. They threw him in a pit. They staged his death, told his father that he was dead. Then they sold him into slavery. While he was a slave for an Egyptian ruler, he's falsely accused by the Egyptian ruler's wife and thrown into prison. I mean, it's like trial, problem, one after another. And God showed him in the dream and then prepared him to step into it. And this was 20 years worth of preparation in his life. But the dream still came to be. And so as God reveals his plans to us, we also need to make sure that we are prepared to step into them. And so if you have a dream, if you have a desire, if you have a plan, the question becomes, are you ready for that? Are you prepared for that? Is your spouse, is your kids, is your faith, is your heart, is your mind, is your character, are you really ready to step into what God has called you to? And are you ready to progress through the problems? Because like Joseph, our problems, if we learn from them, if we grow from them, they can prepare us and bring progress. And I think we got to start looking at it in that way. We see our problems and we allow it to halt us or stop us or keep us from moving forward. But God goes, hey, listen, this problem that you're experiencing is shaping you and preparing you for the plan that I have for you. So, you know, for Joseph, you know, there are these prospects. He, again, I believe he wanted to be respected by his brothers. I think he wanted to be liked by them. And being young and unprepared, he went about it the wrong way. He tried to force something to happen. His desire to be liked landed him in a pit. And ultimately, he attempted to force others to like him, but he ended up being hated. I was just thinking about, I mean, just imagine, you know, you have these dreams and they're kind of, we see them as back-to-back. Maybe they were back-to-back and they're very much saying the same thing. And you go from this very vivid dream that you believe is from God, and you go to being somebody who's on top, and your brothers are respecting you and loving you, and your father and mother are doing the same thing. So you go from this high of people bowing at your feet to then being thrown in a pit by your brothers, now placing you beneath their feet. So it goes from here to here. And I'm guessing in that moment in the pit, there's shock, there's fear, right? There's worry, there's anger. His relationship with his brothers, I think at this point, it's kind of ruined, right? Like, my brothers just threw me in a pit and then sold me into slavery. How many be like, yeah, we're still good, though. See you next week for dinner. It's ruined. It's ruined. And his dream, his dreams that he shared that he was so passionate about, they become a distant memory as his mind and thoughts are flooded with failure, with depression, with isolation, hopelessness, with worthlessness. He's stuck in that pit thinking, this is it. I thought this was going to be the plan, but this is how it all ends. And I don't know what plans or dreams God has placed on your heart, but I do know this. When you try to force them before they are meant to be, they all will often lead you to be in the same pit where you feel like you're a failure, where you feel worthless, where you feel like you are lonely, isolated, and just hopeless. And this may be true of your plans, whether it be in your relationships, your desires to start a family, finding a career, starting a business, maybe just in your faith walk. You wonder, why has this been so hard for so long? And you find yourself being stuck in a pit because you attempted to do things that you were not ready for. God was still working, still moving, and still preparing you to step into those things. Here's the truth, though, and this is the truth of the gospel. Thankfully, we have a God who knows us deeply, right? And he wants his good for us, and he constantly offers us redemption. Though we make mistakes, though we mess up, he continues to redeem us. He has a plan for us, and that plan can come to fruition and fulfillment even in the midst of our problems. And I think that's the message of the gospel, right? Is that God, through Jesus, saves us, redeems us from our sin problems, from all of our problems. And he can take our problem and turn it into preparation and progress in our lives. So I want you to know that God can prepare us through our problems to help keep us making progress. And it's, I think this is so important for us to realize. I'm guessing right now you got some problems in your life. And maybe they've caused you to pause. Maybe they've caused you to give up, lose hope, feel worthless, feel like a failure. And God's just going, no. This problem, I'm trying to teach you something. I'm trying to show you something. Don't give up because of the problem. Stay focused on the plan that I have for you. And so if you feel stuck in a cycle of failure, depression, isolation, defeat, discouragement, and you feel like you're not making any progress, it doesn't mean that your dreams are attainable. It may just mean in this moment, God is trying to prepare you for it. Or at the very least, he is trying to show you something that is keeping you from making progress towards his dream. And I think it's a human nature to want to achieve our dreams without having to make too many necessary changes in order to prepare to step into God's plan. But here's what I know. Stepping into God's plan is a hard-fought battle. And it means breaking habits. It means stopping addictions. It's claiming our identity in God over the identity that others force upon us. It's fighting hard and not giving up. It's never losing hope. It's never losing faith. It's seeing the progress in the midst of our problems. And so if your dreams or plans or whatever God has given you have come crashing into reality, right? Causing chaos, causing confusion, you need to just step back and really, really examine all the reasons why. And you need to start with you, right? What do I need to change? How do I need to grow in your current problems? How might God be trying to prepare you? What might God be trying to reveal to you? How might God be trying to shape you? You know, and as we try to progress to the plans that God has for us, when we face problems, we face trial, we face hardships, we tend to point fingers, right? Well, if this didn't happen, well, if they wouldn't have said or done, it's because so-and-so did this, said that. And we very easily go, I'm experiencing this because of all these other things. Yeah, at the end of the day, we've all had negative influences in our lives, many of which we didn't ask for, had no control over, right? But just because something happened to you in the past doesn't mean that you have to continue going through life blaming it or operating out of it or allowing it to declare who you are becoming. Many times we hold on to the problems of the past and they keep us from progressing into the plan that God has for us. And so like Joseph, we find ourselves at breaking points, maybe because we didn't have enough self-awareness. We didn't realize we were unprepared. Maybe we did have the self-awareness. We knew exactly what needed to be done, but we never actually took steps to fix the issues. So if you've attempted to go after something, achieve something, change something, and maybe it utterly failed or it backfired, man, did you really examine the reasons why? Did you take ownership of your own failings, of your own shortcomings, of your own mistakes, or at the very least, just the fact that you were unprepared to step into it? When was the last time you really took an honest assessment of yourself? Kind of just assess yourself in certain areas like faithfulness, how you handle your relationships, communication, your work ethic, your drive, your purpose, your selfishness, your social skills, your problem solving, your problem resolution, your interactions with others. I mean, this is something that we've got to continually do. And this is what God is continually, you know, trying to do in us. And having an honest assessment of who we are and making the necessary changes will lead us to what God has for us. Oftentimes, we tend to get in the way, in our own way, of stepping into the plans that God has for us. It's our lack of self-awareness. It's our need to please others. It's not getting over our past problems. Or maybe as problems present themselves, we just give up too quickly because they become overwhelming. Or maybe our inability to move past our problems is the very thing keeping us from achieving our dreams, from stepping into the plan that God has for us. Man, Joseph's past problems, they paved the way to the dream that God showed him. And I want to help show you that over the next few weeks. I want to help you see that over the next few weeks. Because I know you're struggling. I know you're going, we all do. But it doesn't change who God is. It doesn't change the plan that he has for our lives. Maybe, just maybe, in the midst of those problems, he's trying to show you something. He's trying to prepare you for what's next. Don't let the problems halt your progress. You know, the problems in your past, or even the problems happening right now, they could be the very thing that helps you achieve your dream. And so begin to look at it from that angle and recognize the problem for what it is, own your role in it, and then deal with it. And I'll say one or two things. Either you can lose the problem or use the problem, but don't let it hold you back. Don't let it keep you kind of stale and stagnant. Use it or lose it. You can either let the problem break you, or you can use those problems for breakthrough. And that's what God wants in your life. One of my favorite lines in this whole story is found in Genesis 50, verse 20. That's at the very end of the whole thing. And Joseph is saying to his brothers, "You planned evil against me, but God planned it for good to bring about the present result, the survival of many people." Going back to Genesis 45:8, it says, "Therefore, it wasn't you who sent me here. It was God." I think there's great power in recognizing, realizing, and believing in God's sovereignty over all things. In our blessings, and in our suffering, he will shape us and he will prepare us to step into the plans and purposes that he has for us. I believe this truth of God's sovereignty in our life will need to be a continual reminder as we journey through our breaking points. Church, would you stand to your feet, bow your heads, close your eyes as we close out today? God, here's what I know. Every single one of us is going through it, has gone through it. Right, we've dealt with problems. We've gone through hardships. We've endured trial after trial after trial. And I've heard from so many people, they just feel stuck. I pray today that they would see you, see who you are, and recognize your sovereignty God, today, if they've lost hope, give it back to them. If their faith has wavered, and rekindle it. May they see and realize that even in the midst of all those problems, you are still good. You are still working. And you still have a plan that you want to work out for them in their life. God, let them focus on your plan over their problems. God, may they see their problems as a way to be prepared for what you're calling them into. God, I pray over families right now. I pray over marriages right now. I pray over jobs and finances and all these ways in which we feel stuck, we feel lost, we feel like failures. Would you remind us today that through you, even in the midst of these problems, we can overcome them. And we can step into the plan that you have for us. Because we take this journey examining our breaking points, will we continue to cling to who you are and the sovereignty and the grace and the love and the redemption and the purpose that you have for us? It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.